There's also why, like, even though this film is like it's just like 3 minutes 45 seconds, but it's still like I feel like such a refreshing kind of protest to that, you know, where you have desiring each other and being desired, you know, and it's not like, oh, there's something wrong with us, or like we're so sad,
I
and like
mean,
nobody wants
that
us.
does happen, Surya.
It's okay,
People
like,
do
I
not
want them.
want us. You're listening to Passing By, Bi Collective Delhi's podcast. The Bi Collective Delhi existed as an online space before our first meetup on Bi Visibility Day 2017. We are a volunteer-led community collective that creates a safe space for bi, bi plus, pansexual, curious, questioning, and otherwise queer folks to come together to discuss issues important to the community, as well as just to be bi. This is the first episode. Today's episode is a conversation with Varsha Panikkar, a Mumbai-based non-binary filmmaker, as part of the Five Films for Freedom program.
Five Films for Freedom is a global online short film program hosted by the British Council and BFI Flair in support of LGBTIQ+ rights. Every year, the British Council and BFI Flair handpick five LGBTIQ+ themed short films and make them available for audiences across the world to watch online for free. The British Council in India partners with the Queer Muslim Project, South Asia's largest virtual network of queer, Muslim, and allied individuals, to celebrate and amplify LGBTIQ+ stories and voices as part of Five Films for Freedom 2021. Today, we are here to discuss one of these films, Bodies of Desire. I am Surya Thapa Mukherjee. I'm a news reporter in India. I'm gender fluid and pansexual. I'm here on behalf of Bi Collective Delhi for this conversation. Navdeep, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Surya.
So, my name is Navdeep. I studied literature and documentary filmmaking in college and university, before working in the development sector for a few years. I have made one short documentary on making schools safer for genderqueer children, and this was based on the true story of one child who studied in a school in Delhi.
So, as Surya said, we are one of the partners for this program, the Bi Collective Delhi. Today we're joined by Varsha Panikkar, who's a filmmaker, and I'll let them introduce themselves. And after that, we'll talk a bit about the process of making the film and other things related to that. So, Varsha?
Hi, my name is Varsha Panikkar. My pronouns are they, them. I am a filmmaker, poet, mixed media and voice artist from Bombay. I wrote, voiced and co-directed Bodies of Desire.
So could you first tell us, Varsha, like what inspired you to make this film? And especially, I think when we watch this film, especially for those of us who, you know, do not identify within the binary, I think we can see that there is that specific kind of intentional representation in there. So could you kind of just speak a bit about your inspirations that led you to kind of do this project?
So Bodies of Desire is something that I started about 2 years ago as a poetry sketch series on Instagram. It was basically erotic sketches paired with poetry that I wrote. So I wrote it at a time when I was myself in a state of transition and was on a journey of sort of rediscovering my identity. So as I kept adding to the series, it sort of transformed into something that became a little more deeper and evolved into a means for me to sort of tell stories of endearment and that delved into themes of identity, desire, discovery, sensuality, and intimacy, and sort of looked at it outside the context of just sex and became an expression, an exploration of rediscovering yourself through desire and through intimacy. And I think that was the same with the film. We wanted to just sort of create a portrait of intimacy, of longing, of embrace, of desire, and capture a set of lovers in those moments, you know, where only they exist and everything else is sort of background music. but from the aspect of identity, it was something I was still grappling with while I was making the film. And it was only after I made the film that I sort of embraced a lot about myself and I embraced my identity as a non-binary individual. So a lot of that transformation happened through the film. So for me, it was also really cathartic just making this film because I met so many amazing people who I had not met in a really long time. You know, when you are surrounded by cis het bodies, you're constantly hiding and you're constantly second guessing, and you're not really, you don't give yourself enough time to think about these things. But the moment where you're in a within a community where you have such amazing people who exuberate such amazing confidence and are so open about their identities, it gives you strength, right? And I think that was the intention of making the film as well. But I myself sort of embraced a lot of that while I was making the film. So.
So I think it's really interesting how, in terms of like the world that we inhabit now, it's so interesting that you were able to sort of create your own representation and have a direct hand in it, and basically use film making as a process of creating a safe space for yourself in which you were then able to explore yourself and kind of, you know, come out to yourself or whatever it is. And I think that's so interesting from how we've seen filmmaking with queer people. It's always been from that cishet lens, and it's always kind of going into it with a certain set of perspectives already, and then the film kind of just reflecting that. And I think it's very different as queer viewers when we watch films like that, you know, and then when we watch films like these, which are actually made by queer people. I think it's very evident. Like for me particularly, it really stood out. The intentionality in like the depiction of diversity and kind of what are the processes that you went through to make sure that certain kind of people were seen in the film?
So the moment I decided I wanted to make this film, it literally happened on a Instagram chat with Kaushal, who's a dear friend of mine. He's a cinematographer. And I used to keep posting these photos and this poetry. And he's like, why don't we just make this into a film? Film which was bordering on sensual and not very sexual. And we just wanted to portray desire and passion and rediscovery and, you know, that sort of intimacy. We just wanted to translate that onto screen, keeping in mind what the aesthetics of the series was. And for that to happen, I think what we really needed was a brilliant cast and a brilliant team. And that took a little time. And I was really sure that I wanted people who were from the community to sort of be represented in the film. And which is why, if you look at it, most of the cast is non-trained actors who we worked with over time to sort of build the intimacy that you see on screen.
I have a question here that's related to this, because I think apart from the transgression in terms of the gender binary on screen, there's also transgression in terms of sexuality. I think there's a lot on screen that could speak to us in terms of, you know, being from the bi pan community. You wrote that the problem is the default expectation we have of people as a society is heteronormative and binary. And this was in the article that you've called Labels in a Not So Perfect World. Could you speak a bit about that, about how important these labels of both gender and sexuality were to you in the process of making this film? Because sometimes as queer people, we lack the language to articulate what we feel. And when we find that there's a word for that or there is language for that, that kind of helps us sort of exist in the world better.
I think when it came to this film, I was clear about what kind of representation I was looking at. I didn't want there to be a particular label that we wanted to represent. We were just attempting to touch upon a few of these identities in their authentic self, right? We were very clear about the division between sexuality and sensuality. I wanted to represent sensuality because for far too long, sex has been a primary association to queer identities. And we wanted to stay away from that sexual trope and instead celebrate it in a very primal and universal manner. There's more to one's identity than just sexual attraction, you know. There's romantic, aromantic attraction, and we can't assume that attraction re relies upon that desire to have sex. So these were the things that I already had in my mind. I didn't want to in any way devalue other aspects of the relationship or invalidate any non-sexual romantic relationships, because I had all kinds of people in my film. And to me, it was more important to maintain their authenticity and represent what intimacy meant to them. And I remember we asked all our prospective cast, even the shortlist, five things that sort of reminded them of intimacy. And for the majority of them, it was the touch. And for a lot of them, it was the smell. And now, when you think of moments of embrace, of the touch, of the taste, the first thing that visually strikes you is the touch. So, like the slight brushing of the hands with one another, the interlacing fingers. So that to a lot of people was erotic and romantic, and it already created the tension and anticipation that we wanted to sort of create. So for me, labels only matter till the point that it mattered to everybody else, right? Whoever was part of it, because labels help us reclaim our own identity, right? That is not just who we are. Having said that, it helps you reclaim and makes certain things very clear for you. This works for me, this doesn't work for me. This I'm comfortable doing, this I'm not comfortable doing. So I think those, once you lay down those ground rules while creating something, you already are on the right path of creating something authentic. I think that was what helped us
Absolutely. And that makes a
do
lot of
this.
sense, the title of the film, Bodies of Desire, because it doesn't have any labels attached to it. And that sort of made me think of the level of comfort that the actors had with each other. And so my question to you was, a film that obviously demands such deep levels of bodily intimacy, and therefore they must trust each other. And issues of touch and
Absolutely.
consent and so on become very important. And so how did you navigate this
Yes.
process of working with people who are from the queer community and sort of training them into their roles in this film?
So, what happens initially when you're working with people, it's not easy to gain that trust, right? And it's anyway not easy to work in an industry where sexism, harassment, bullying, discrimination, and this whole abuse of power and this hierarchy is so normalized, right? Especially for people who are marginalized or come from marginalized genders. And so it was really important for us to create that sense of an alternate space, you know, which had certain rules, and there was a sort of no strict no tolerance policy, so people could sort of allow themselves to be vulnerable in a creative space. And that is really important for any artist. And that allows them to sort of be authentic without, you know, the fear of being judged or mocked or harassed. And that's one of the things that our producer, Sabri, they made sure that was there. We had a very sensitized, gender balanced and intersectional cast and crew, because I think it's really important to also talk about the representation, not just in front of the camera, but also behind. Usually when I've been working in advertising for a while, it's a very male dominated space. You'll possibly have one stylist who's a different gender, but most of them are just men on set, and mostly cis men. So the dynamics is really different, right, off the set. But in terms of working with the actors, I think we really wanted the actors to sort of look really uninhibited and raw, and we wanted the movement and the action to also look the same. And we wanted, in general, the lens to have the sort of gaze where you feel like the other has allowed you, like they've submitted to your gaze while still being in control, if that makes sense. The intimacy that you see is something that we worked on over a period of time. We began with a lot of one-on-one auditions to sort of understand intimacy and desire, what it meant to each one of them, what their sexual and gender preferences were with regard to their preferred pairing with co-actors, their inhibitions about their body, their take on queer representation, the gaze, all of which sort of helped us bring together this beautiful bunch of people. Because we did a lot of rehearsals, we did choreography, we did intimacy workshops, we even did rehearsals on set. It's not as sensual and as comfortable. On set, there's a lot of waiting around, there's lights, there's camera, there's crew, even though minimal crew. So All of those things, I think, is what helped build that honesty and comfort and trust from the get-go with our cast. And, they sort of let go in the whole process and allowed and entrusted us that with themselves, with their bodies, with everything that they did, they sort of trusted us. And I think that is what luckily we were able to take care of and not really disappoint them. Even in terms of intimacy, it's so different. Like a slight brush of hand with another could be something really intimate for someone, and for another, a kiss is more intimate, and a kiss on the neck is more intimate. Just holding hands is more intimate. Just breathing another person's breath on your body is more intimate. So those are the things that we took literally from the people that we spoke to and were in the film. And that is what we represented because we wanted it to be authentic. I didn't want to write a script and be like, oh, at this point, the hand goes up and something happens. So it's very authentic, everything that is
Yeah,
happening in the film.
absolutely. And how organic it is, it comes through to whoever's watching the film.
These are really crucial times, and it is important to sort of work towards actually including people.
You're listening to Passing By, Bi Collective Delhi's podcast.
So, like a few things that really stand out to me here, like in whatever you've said. I think number one thing, which I personally am very passionate about, is like that writer's room or like people behind the scenes, because that really plays a huge role in like what happens with the people on screen, right? And I think like personally, even just being in like say photo shoots, like queer photo shoots, which are one is managed by queer people and designed by queer people, and then the other one is done by people very enthusiastic, who are like very enthusiastic allies but are not queer themselves. And the experience is completely different. You can just see, like even just say in the ways that they were styling us, like how I was styled and how confident I felt was completely different in like the two cases. So I think the fact that you yourself are a queer filmmaker, I think that definitely played a crucial role in having these people open up. I don't think that that would have happened if everybody was just cishet men or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other thing that I also think is very interesting, is that we have all these conversations about trans people being played by cis actors, and then you have these filmmakers saying that, oh, we couldn't find anybody like that for that role, so we had to use somebody else and things like that. And here it's like you've completely flipped the script, where it's you found people who are queer and you have sort of trained them, and you've sort of made the film to be as authentic in terms of like their own interests and their own personalities, and you have kind of centered them. So could you kind of just speak a bit about the selection process for the actors? Are these people like your friends or people you know through someone else? Or like how did that happen?
We were very clear about the kind of people we wanted. We wanted people who were really confident and from the community and were out. Because the kind of film, when you're making a film like this, which has a lot of intimacy and which is in general intense, you need already people who are sort of comfortable in their own skin. Everything else, you could always work with it. So none of these people are my friends, but right now, all of them are part of my family. Training with actors and keeping it authentic, I think it's really important. And all that talk of, oh, we couldn't find somebody, and oh, they were not actors. Pardon my French, but it is absolute. And it doesn't work like that. Right now, the socio-political condition is such that we cannot afford to say things like that anymore. We need that sort of representation to be authentic. These are really crucial times, and it is important to sort of work towards actually including people from these communities. It's not just that. I feel like I have the privilege to sort of make a film like this and to sort of find a voice, even though it took me 10 years to do that, but I was able to do that. It's such a privilege. I know so many other queer artists who come from various backgrounds and they're aspiring to be writers, filmmakers, and want to produce queer content from their own perspective because that is what we need. Pass on the mic. Like if you have resources, share it, get more people who are from the community, who know what it is like to be in a queer body. And I think that is what is more important, but the opportunities are less. Like I met this cis person the other day. He's like, I'm writing a lesbian drama. I was like, but you are not queer. You don't even have a writer with you who's queer to give you that sort of perspective. So what is going on? You know what I mean?
So, like, there is this focus, of course, the film has on brown bodies in particular. So, what are your, do you have any, personal experiences that kind of made this important for you? Or was it that, it is an Indian film, you're making it in India as an Indian filmmaker. So, that was sort of obvious.
There hasn't been enough representation, especially of queer brown bodies, in India like this, right? Because the white skin fetish though doesn't leave only our brains, and the whole colonial hangover has been there forever. It has always been oppressive. I am brown, right? I'm not fair, but growing up, it was really hard for me. I grew up in Delhi, and I remember the kind of biases that I experienced even as a child, of constantly being told, oh, you're tum to kale ho, tum to south ke ho. You know, those kind of basic things, they stay with you. Even in your patties, they kind of stay with you and they pinch you and they hurt you. And that sort of misrepresentation is something that we've been plagued by for really long. Since my mother's time, since my grandmother's time. Abhi tak, that is what is going on. I think in the sense of a global representation and a global narrative, also, if you see brown bodies, just like queer bodies, have been used as tropes and been misrepresented or has been completely missing from the stories that are told. So I think it's time we take back that narrative and start talking about it, because it affects how we see ourselves, it affects how we see race, how we see other people. Things are changing now, especially in the indie space. And me and Kaushal, in fact, both of us really wanted to keep it natural and real. Like, if you look at the people, there's barely any makeup on them. And even the styling that we did, which Omkar has done, he's an actor in the film and he's a designer, so he did the styling. So even for them, he wanted the cast to sort of retain their sense of personal style, so they would look comfortable and look authentic. And in the same way, even when it came to skin, that is what we wanted to represent. We wanted to represent ourselves.
I mean, it also makes sense because most of the media that we can access as queer people, obviously coming with certain class privileges and things like that. But most of the media that we access is American and Western, to see our queerness being represented, and then still we somehow don't see ourselves being represented because these are not queer bodies of color, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And most people don't have access to that kind of cinema or that kind of work. Like, growing up, I don't remember seeing a single character which was, represented in a manner that I could relate to. Even in terms of queer role models, there were none. We were all either abandoned or ostracized or being laughed at, or was the best friend, the comical best friend,
Right.
right? It was all these characters. There were also these stories where the protagonist is dying of AIDS or abuse and, being ostracized. And while those stories are based in reality and are important, I mean, I wish I could have also seen some characters that were like me, where they didn't show us dying in shame, or they didn't show us as an object of someone's pity, which is what I constantly keep saying, that we need to sort of build a new normal where that's when you see when someone is not being abused or being treated badly, people go back and they watch it and they are like, hey, nobody seems to be bothered by this, so why are we so bothered by it? I wish there was a better narrative where we're not constantly seen as marginalized. And I know there's a long way to it.
Just like Varsha said, I mean, of course, there is a commitment to reality that people have as filmmakers, as writers, as poets, but that doesn't mean that we can't be seen or can't show ourselves as just desiring and acting on desire. So I thought that was such a refreshing thing about Bodies of Desire.
I know a lot of people in the last few years. I have come across a lot of queer artists from outside India, who are South Asian, who talk about how it has taken them so many years to just embrace the fact that they're South Asian or that they have Indian, Pakistani, or Sri Lankan heritage. They don't talk about it openly, and now they have embraced it, and now they're talking about it. And now they're seeing how their narratives are so different. It's more nuanced, and there are different complexities that comes from being multicultural and multiracial.
I think another important thing is that when we do see brown queer people in the films that we do have, it's generally always these Like if they're always in a one-sided desire, you know, they're always desiring cishet people around
Yeah.
them and you know, being rejected. And that is kind of their whole tragic story. There's also why, like, even though this film is like, it's just like 3 minutes 45 seconds, but it's still like I feel like such a refreshing kind of protest to that, you know, where you have desiring each other and being desired, you know, and it's not like, oh, there's something wrong with us, or like we're so sad,
I
and like
mean,
nobody wants
that
us.
does happen, Surya.
So
People do
I
not want us.
there's some reality to it. I think it also happens because we want to, I wanted the film to be urban. I wanted to make something that I could relate to. And I wanted to show the kind of people that I knew, the kind of couples I knew, or the way I was and how passion and desire for me worked. And so I wanted to just reflect that very proudly and very unabashedly. I wanted to just reflect that, regardless of what anybody would think of it or anything. That's just.
Could you talk a bit about the process of writing out the sort of narration that you've written to this, which was very sort of, like you said, very intense, very honest? So did that come from the poetry that originally inspired this film that you wrote with the illustrations and so on?
I remember I just started drawing queer bodies one day, which stemmed from my own desires and I think my own trying to rediscover my own sort of understanding of love and intimacy. So I think I just started from that and I started writing. And Bodies of Desire is like, I think the first piece that I started writing, which was very passionate. Earlier, I'd been writing a lot about mental health and very slice of life stuff, right? So when Bodies of Desire started, it became really passionate for me initially. And then I guess the way it translated in the film also comes from there. I mean, the book is not out yet, but in the series, I was also discussing queer relationships, very transitional relationships. It was more about exploring oneself through these desires and through these experiences and encounters that you have, you know, and how it brings about a change within you. And how, with each interaction and how, with each encounter, there's something new that you discover about yourself and the world around you. And it's a very simple narrative, just somebody who meets somebody and in the process of rediscovering that love and that attraction. And through that, you know, you sort of change and you see your own uniqueness and you see your own power, you see your own identity. And I think that was exactly the process, and that was exactly what happened through the series for me personally, for my identity, and that is exactly what I wanted to make about. And I just found the right people to make it with, so it happened.
I think that's a wonderful note to end this conversation with. We have obviously gone over time because, you know, I think when we like to talk about these topics, it's like so rare. So like we come at it passion.
And I just want to thank everyone who was part of this, especially Varsha, who took out time to talk with Bi Collective Delhi, and Surya, who I know is very busy covering an election, but took out time to do this. So thank you both so much, and that's it.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you so much for speaking to us. I wish I could get my whole cast and crew to talk to you. But thank you so much for having me.
Today's episode was edited by Navdeep, and the show art for the podcast has been made by Sukh Mehak. Both are founding members of Bi Collective Delhi. Do join us next time for another episode of Passing By.